Hey, welcome back to Crimes and Closets. This is Christy in my closet in St. Louis.
And this is Beth in my closet in North Carolina.
Happy Monday, Beth.
Happy Monday.
How's Christy? It going?
Good. It's going good. How's it going with you?
It's going. I mean, I don't know. I feel like everything was going really fast and now it's going a little slower now.
Cool. So I'm just getting into the slow period. I have been so busy for one. I messaged you today and was like, after we record, I don't have anything to do. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had a day like that in a month.
Yeah.
Where there was nothing. I mean, like, I have to pick my kids up and all that. Right. But like I could go take a nap.
You should.
You should too. We are tired.
Yeah, I need a nap today. Like, I normally am not a nap person, but I could definitely use one today.
Yeah. Sure. I hope you get one.
Yeah.
I have a teenager and you have an 18-year-old, and which is crazy. 18 and 13. These are big years.
I know. My gosh, stop.
Graduation. And I'm so worried about this year, 2024. Is anybody feeling like this? Could you guys write us in and tell you how your 2024 is going? Because mine is a, like, storm.
Dumpster fire?
It really is. I mean, like, it's crazy to say that because that's what we said during, like, the COVID year. But I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of just nutty things happening.
Is it the stars, the solar eclipse, Mercury? Like,
somebody... You know how much I know about all that, so shall we get into that? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to have to look it up. Like, we are not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have asked you that actually when it happened. Like, does the eclipse do anything? Like, is that?
You know, I don't know. Yes, I'm sure it does. I know animals, it makes animals a little kooky.
My mom said the same thing, and I looked that up, and yeah, like, apparently it's like getting dark in the middle of the day, and it just being weird, and like the temperature drop. Leah was fine. Leah was outside with me the whole time, and she acted like her normal self. But I saw that it could go either way. Like, some are just not affected at all, and others are. So, but
well, you know, I did hear on the radio that during a solar eclipse, turtles all mate. Isn't that weird?
All of them at the same time?
Yeah, I don't know about all that. No, but it's like they all have the desire to like mate, even though it's not mating season. But during a solar eclipse, they all do, which is sad for them because it only lasts like, what, 4 minutes or 2 minutes or something? You know, like and they're slow. So like, it's kind of setting them up for failure or something.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I thought when I heard it. I'm like, wow, well, this poor guys.
Maybe they take like the whole time, like, you know, because it starts at a certain time and doesn't like complete until, you know, it's like hours.
It's like a couple hours. Yeah. Yeah. True. True. So, they'd have to. I mean,
maybe
seriously.
It's not just at the point of totality.
I know. I'm just a 13-year-old boy. So.
They were like, it's dark. It's time to do it.
Yeah. Come here, Betsy Turtle. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm an idiot. Anyway. So everything is good, though. We're going to survive as long as we all stay together.
Yeah. Yeah. I literally, as we chatted for a long time before we even started recording today.
Yes.
We just had lots to talk about.
Because there's
today.
A lot going on in 2024.
Yeah. And it like hit me during that conversation that I literally will have a graduate in a month. And that is now freaking me out sitting here, actually.
Yeah. Because now you have a lot to do. She was saying like, oh, it's fine. I can figure that out. I have time. And I'm like, it's a month away. Like, you do not have time.
Nope. No,
you're
not
gonna
as much
have a graduate.
I mean, that's fingers bananas. Crossed.
Well,
not finished with semester yet.
You're gonna party like you have a graduate at the very least. There's going to be a party.
Yeah, I was gonna say like he's walking across that stage. Whether he's gonna have to like repeat something in summer school in order to actually get a diploma will be a different story. But we'll see.
That's okay.
I have faith. I do have faith. It's not bad. But sometimes you just like look at them and go. And you want to shake them and be like, seriously?
Like, I worry about you. That's what I say to men. I worry about you a little bit.
Although I will say this, It's totally not anything that we said we were going to talk about in this intro, but that's what we do. He asked for a Roth IRA for his birthday.
Yes. That is amazing.
And I was like, what? That's what you want. You want us to start you a Roth IRA. So we did. We got in touch with our financial advisor. He set it up. We put in – he didn't make much last year. So we put in the total amount that he made to start his – start him out. And then my parents have given him a little bit. So he's now going to put some of that into it as well for the next – this coming year. Amazing. And like we had this call last night with the financial advisor so he could like – explain and walk him through it. And I was like impressed with like what he actually understood and coming out of that conversation. So
I am impressed that he even knows what that is, first of all.
So he has a they have personal finance class in school and he said he learned it during that.
Amen. Well done. But I, when you told me that he asked for that, I was like, wow, good job, Christy. Like mom of the year for real. He's doing so great. It is you. Yes, it is. You do a great job. He is such a awesome young man.
He is.
He really is.
He's great. He's going to do great things.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's just a good human. So well done.
I agree with that. That's what I say about him all the time. He's just a good, good human being. So
that's all you can ask for.
Yep. That's very true.
Yep. Don't be a bad guy and end up on a podcast.
Kind of like the people that we were about to talk about.
I knew you were going to go there. Segue, my friends.
And their kids. Didn't even think about that.
Oh, true.
Spoiler. We just talked about a responsible kid and doing the right thing. Those ones in here are not doing the right thing.
You should tell me about them.
I will. I'm ready to right now.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Okay, so this is going to be a slightly different episode than normal.
Okay.
Laura, as in your sis.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
She sent in a suggestion for a case. However, there was just like very little information about it. But I did want to do it because it's kind of interesting. So I was just like, well, I'll just find something that's like similar in nature. And
okay.
Throw two. So there's two cases in one.
Two cases in one. I've been known to do said things.
Yeah. And although being like similar in nature, like I said, they are different in like they don't have the same motive or like intent. So you'll kind of like – you'll see what I mean when it's over.
Okay.
All right. So the case that Laura sent was about Kelly and Thomas Crane. And so for this one, we're going to Florida.
Oh, Lord.
Crazy Florida. Basically, it's near Naples. I don't think it's like in the heart of Naples, but it's in a small community just outside Naples called Golden Gates Estates.
Oh, this sounds so Golden Girls to me. That's all I thought of just then. Okay.
Well, like when I first saw that name, I'm like, oh, that's like a subdivision, like – mine or whatever, but I think it's actually like a little tiny community, and it's their like niche is that they offer properties that are at least like an acre or bigger, so they you know, which isn't like always the case in Florida because normally it's like they're like packed in
or anywhere.
Well that's true. So I guess this is like they're maintaining this like space and it's their thing. So okay, Kelly and Thomas have three sons, Nick and Jonathan, who were from a previous marriage. I don't know which one. I think Kelly's, but I'm not really 100% sure on that. And then her and Thomas had Alexander in July of 1996.
Okay.
So he's got two half-brothers, and then they have him. At the time of this case, Nick was the oldest. He's 23, and he's living in Naples, which is nearby. And Jonathan is 19 and is in school for college out in Arizona. So Alex is the only one that's living at home, and he is 14.
Okay.
And he is in ninth grade at Palmetto Ridge High School.
Okay.
Kelly and her mother, Nancy Ward, who Nancy was also a registered nurse, had run a company together from 1999 to 2004. And it had like such a weird name. It was like Nan Kel something. I don't know. Like they took like their name, smashed it together, and then added
they
something.
They shipped themselves.
Shipped
themselves. Yeah.
Yes, they did. Okay. I couldn't find any information about it, so I was like, whatever. I just know that they ran this company. It's no longer in existence, and I can't even find anything about it out there. So anyway. And in 2002, Kelly and Thomas also started Crane Screening and Aluminum, and they ran that out of their home.
Okay.
Alex was a good kid who did well in school and was not known to be violent and loved his parents. I'm sure he was a typical teen, though. Like, we all know how they
really
are.
Really interesting description.
Like, I know.
They light up a room and were not known to be violent.
Nope. They're not violent at all.
Got it.
Until they weren't. Uh-huh. But I am sure that he was a typical teen. We know how they are. They can just be little punks every now and then. But you know, like, down, they really love you. So anyway. But overall, he was a pretty good kid. On December 9th, 2010, around 8:30 in the morning, a call came in to 911 asking for help to come to 4240 47th Avenue Northeast in Golden Gate Estates. It was a distraught 14-year-old Alex, and he needed help for his parents because they had been shot.
Mm-hmm.
The 911 operator was trying to calm Alex down and help him give, like, her – by the way, sorry, time out. Most of my information was actually from this 911 call. I mean, okay. not the entire thing, but a lot of the information was actually just from this. So,
like, you were able to listen?
Yes.
Because Florida?
Well, I probably could have found it otherwise, yes. But, like, this was actually, like, there's a TikTok account out there now that I have found it. Like, basically just TikTok's 911 calls.
Oh, I know it.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you know what it's called? I can't remember. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I heard it on this, three different like parts of it, because it has to be broken up into like 4-minute segments or whatever. But anyway. Okay. So the 911 operator was trying to calm Alex down, help him like give her details of what he knew. He said both of his parents had been shot and they needed to hurry because he didn't think they were going to make it. As she questioned him, she was trying to find out if there was anyone else in the room or in the house with him, or to see if anybody else like had been there or whatever. And he's like, no, told him where his brothers were. One was in Arizona, one's living in Naples. When she asked the question if he knew who had shot his parents, Alex answered, I did. I shot them.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was not known to be violent.
No, he wasn't. He started to sob as they were speaking. He said his mom told him to call 911. And so she's like, oh, your mom said that? So like she's breathing and responsive and whatever.
Speaking.
Yeah. He's like, oh, well, I don't know. She said it at that point, but I don't know. And she's kind of like, well, how long ago did this happen? Like, and he's like, she's like, we've been on the phone for this amount of time. How long was it before you called? And he was like 30 seconds. You know, I called after this was shot. So she's like, well, see if they'll answer now. And he's like, mom, no. Okay. So she's like, well, why would you? This was, by the way, the nicest 911 operator that I've ever heard, I think. Like, she's so nice and so, like, trying to calm him down, trying to get as much information.
And also get information, yeah.
Yes. It was, like, it was amazing. So she's like, why would you do this? And he's like, I don't know. He stated, I was sleeping and I woke up and I didn't know I had a gun in my hand. This is what he said.
What?
Yeah. So she held him on the phone, made sure that he no longer had the weapon. He had told her that he left it in the bathroom. When he asked where he had shot them, he stated he shot his father in the shoulder and he was not sure where his mom had been shot. She instructed him to make sure that he like went outside to meet the officers and that he didn't have a weapon on him, all that kind of stuff. 16 minutes later, so this 911 call was about 16 minutes long, he heard the sirens approaching. When police got there, they immediately took Alex into custody, like cuffed him, put him in the back of the police car, and they enter the home and eventually find 40-year-old Matt and 39-year-old Kelly. Not Matt. Why am I saying Matt? That's a random name to put in there. Thomas. Literally okay. typed Matt. No. That's a lie. Anyway, 40-year-old Thomas and 39-year-old Kelly dead in their bedroom. While in the back of the police car, there's video footage of distraught Alex banging his head on the metal cage, like in the car.
Oh, my.
Crying, yelling at police. He was heard at one point saying, "I shouldn't have done it. What the F is wrong with me? I shot my own parents for no effing reason."
Wow. I did not
watch this video. I didn't like look for it. I just like there was like descriptions of it in a couple different articles. Alex was arrested for the murder of his parents and would now be up to a judge to decide if he would be tried as an adult. He's 14.
And it's so unfortunate why he even has access to a daggone gun. I know that's a whole different topic, but like.
Well, yes, that is the question. And I don't know that was ever even answered because the 911 operator at one point did say, like, is it normal for you to like have a gun near your bed at night like that? And he was like, no. So mm-hmm. I don't know where this gun was. I don't know. Whatever, like if it was secured.
Well, he knew where it was. And no, I would say it was not secured.
Right. Well, yes, exactly. So, okay. So if he's tried as a juvenile, he would be facing, like he would be in custody until he was 21. And they would like get him the mental help he needed. And then he would be released at 21. If they try him as an adult, he would be facing the 10 to 20 to life, like law. Like, mm-hmm. I guess it would, like those would be. The different increments.
I mean, I would imagine it's a double murderer. So mm-hmm. like,
yeah, for yeah. each of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was held in jail for about 2 years before his trial. And he was in an adult prison. Mm. But it was stated that he was kept away from the adults most of the time. I don't know in what capacity, but there was a point at which he felt threatened and asked for a solitary cell, which he did get. So I don't know. I don't know. It's so weird. Even if you're going to try him as an adult, I feel like, can we wait until he's like found guilty as an adult before we stick him in an adult prison?
Hmm.
No, I don't know. I'm just weird about that. Weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was decided that he would be tried as an adult.
Interesting.
His grandmother, Nancy, visited him twice a week while he was awaiting trial. And she stated that she was going to support her grandson no matter what because it would have been what Kelly would have wanted. So even though he has admitted to killing his parents, like has said he did it in police cars, told the 911 operator, she's just like, I believe something snapped in his brain to cause him to do this because he was, like I stated, not violent, loved mm-hmm. his parents by all accounts as to what she can remember of him, like being with him all the time.
So weird.
Yeah. And so she was like, I need to support him. Like, he needs somebody by his side. His grandfather visited him a couple times and then didn't really, but he understood her need to mm-hmm. be there. She would spend hours with him at the jail sharing memories of family gatherings and remembering the good times with his parents. His brothers did not visit him much. I think one went one time and then the other didn't at all. He did have a couple of psychological evaluations while awaiting for trial. Those reports have not been shared because he is a minor, mm-hmm. but it is believed based on statements made by like attorneys and stuff that he was suffering from some sort of mental illness that was not picked up on previously. Because of this, they believe they were able to reach a plea deal with him. And on April 23rd, 2012, Alex pled no contest to manslaughter with a firearm, and he was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Hmm. He will be released on June 23rd, 2028. He's never spoken publicly about the incident and has never given a motive for it. It's actually possible that he doesn't even have one because he maintains never even remembering the shooting and that he literally woke up with this gun in his hand.
He still says that.
Parents. Yes.
Huh.
His grandmother has spoken about how much he has changed in prison. Like basically like from the time he went in, like he went through puberty, his voice changed. He lost his baby face and it's just like such an awful thing to have to watch from a jail cell basically, or through those bars. He's losing most of his life, and he lost his parents because he shot them. there's a lot of comments on the posted 911 call about how his cries were fake. But when I was listening to it, and I kind of think you're actually, your sister said the same thing, like, he sounded distraught. Like, I don't think they were fake cries, in my personal opinion. I mean, and I'll post the link to the TikTok that I found it on, unless I can find it in a different capacity to, like, link it, the whole thing as one. But I didn't find it when I, like, initially Googled. But it's like, he came to and realized, oh my gosh, what just happened? And I need to get them help. And he did try to get them help. I don't know. But that's just my opinion on that. But anyway, I don't know. Just so sad all around.
Yeah. Weird.
Yes. Isn't it weird? Like, I don't, I truly don't know what to believe. My opinion on the 911 call is he sounded like he didn't intend to kill his parents and he was just this, like, sweet kid that something happened to randomly. But I don't know. I don't know.
But he did kill them.
He did kill them, and he's in jail until 2028 for it.
And how old will he be when he gets out?
So he was born in 96. So
hang on.
32. 32.
Yeah. So still super young. And like, you can absolutely make a life.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope he does. I hope he's getting, like, some sort of education in there, too, like, finishing, get GED, and I don't know, you know, something, just to be able to, like, move on when he comes out. But anyway, and good on Grandma. I mean, I understand, like, why you wouldn't want to go see the person who killed your – but she – I think she truly believes –
it was her daughter, right?
Yeah, it was her daughter, and I do think she truly believes, like, this isn't something he would have done intentionally – because he was mad at them or whatever. Like, she thinks something happened.
What, though?
Something. Well, it is alluded to that he has some sort of mental illness. But what? Like, what would it, could it have
I mean,
been
there's
that
a lot
all of
people
sudden,
that have mental illness. Like, right. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And weird.
I know. And I wish there was so much more information on it. Because when I first started looking into it, I'm like, oh, 100% I'm doing this. This is so cool. And then I'm like, not cool. That was a terrible word to say.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
So
it's like intriguing.
And intriguing. But then I was like, there's nothing out there. Like, which I get, he's a minor and so they can't really release everything. But like, anyway, so weird.
It's really sad.
Weird. Yeah. Anyway, so there's that one.
Okay.
Now we'll move.
Also, before we switch courses, I did just want to say that we also have a shipped name.
What?
You know how you were saying that the mom and the daughter shipped their name to, like, make the company name? And ours is Skolden.
Oh, like, yes.
Gordon and Schofield is our shipped name.
I guess I didn't know what shipped was.
Like, relationshiped the name.
Oh!
Mary the name. That's what it's called.
I did not. I've never heard that before. Oh, in my life.
Like Kravis. You know, Kourtney Kardashian and Travis. Okay.
I've literally never heard the name for doing that. Like, I know people who do it, but like, just not.
It's called shit. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like something new every day.
Combine the two names. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you made a funny face, and I was like, is she making a funny face because we have one, or does she not know what I'm talking about?
I didn't know what shipped was, but I felt like I should, so I just went on pretending I did.
Got it. Okay.
When
well
you
done.
Mentioned again, I couldn't keep going.
Okay.
So, okay. All right. So now this brings us to our second case for the episode, and this is Diane and Alan Johnson.
Oh, no. See, I feel – okay.
What?
I feel bad for him already.
Well, I know, because it's the same crime in nature. So, I mean, you're going to basically spoiler alert this one. But they live in Bellevue, Idaho. Diane was 52, and depending on the source you look at, she was either a tax collector or she worked in the medical clinic. Two very different things.
They are.
I'm not really sure which one it is. But again, these have like so little sources that it's like, well, I can't like prove it by, oh, these mainly have this in it. And this one is the only one that it's like, literally, like, I really don't know. Alan was a 46-year-old part owner of a landscaping company.
Okay.
The two had gotten married in April 23rd, 1983. They had a son, Matt. See, that's where I got Matt from.
Oh, there you go.
Cases up. Okay. Who was one from a previous marriage. Again, not really sure which one had the previous marriage or relationship. And then Sarah, who was born on January 24th, 1987. On September 2nd, 2003, a 911 call comes in saying police are needed at Alan and Diane's address. And when police arrive, they find Diane in bed, who had been shot in the head, and Alan was lying beside the bed, naked, still wet from a shower. As a matter of fact, the shower was still running. Okay. So he heard her get shot, is what they're thinking. Oh. Comes running out and gets shot, I think, twice in the chest. Mm. Yes, twice in the chest. There was also a rifle found at the scene. Sarah had been at a neighbor's house when they arrived, and she had explained that she had been awakened by a loud bang, kind of like cowered in her bed, then heard two more shots and decided, I'm getting the hell out of here, and beelined it to a neighbor's house.
Yeah.
So anyway, police are kind of like at a loss. They're like, no idea why somebody would want to kill a seemingly happy couple, whatever. So while securing the scene, a detective had diverted a garbage collector because it was like garbage day. But in doing so, he was like, no, you can't come down the street kind of thing. Like not purposefully, like just can't, got to come back later or whatever. Kind of may have actually gotten something that proved to be a break in the case later on.
Okay.
Right away.
Well, because it's found in the trash. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So the couple had a guest house on the property who they rented to Mel Spiegel, who was an electrician. The murder weapon, which was a 264, I don't know how to say those things, caliber rifle, was registered to Mel. When they questioned him, he had been out of town the day of the murder and they could prove it. And so it was like clear that it wasn't him, but it was his gun that killed them. However, not long after that, it was discovered that Sarah, their 16-year-old daughter, who was living in the house, who ran to the neighbor's house, had often cleaned the apartment for him as a way of like making money.
Oh my gosh. I think I know this case.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so she had access to the apartment. Mm-hmm. Her brother, by the way, was in college, like at that school in Idaho that the murders just happened at last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. He was weird.
Police then heard that there had been some issues between the couple and Sarah as of recently.
Mm-hmm.
She had started dating a 19-year-old Bruno Santos, and her parents were not the biggest fan of him.
We don't talk about Bruno. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Gosh, that never even entered my mind. Oh my gosh. Yay, bringing it back.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Her parents weren't a fan of him. He had been in kind of in and out of trouble, rumors of being tied to a gang and drug dealing. And so they were just kind of like, I don't know about him, Sarah. But of course, Sarah's like, but I'm in love, you know, you're not getting in the way of my love. So Sarah would lie and say that she was out spending the night at a friend's house, but she would really be with Bruno. Her parents had found out about this at one point, and they are, well, one of the times, and they threatened to turn Bruno into the police for statutory rape because he's 19 and she's 16.
Hmm.
And that's a charge that may have gotten him deported back to Mexico. So she was not happy.
Oh, I can imagine. She was real upset about
that. Yes, about this. So they started investigating Bruno as a possible suspect because they're like, well, he's got a motive if they're threatening to like turn him into the police and Sarah's not happy and whatever. But when they investigated him, although being not a very respectful person, they couldn't tie him to the murder scene at all. Like no evidence. He said he was somewhere else and apparently could prove it, whatever.
Okay.
So they're like, well, I guess it's not Bruno. So then they turned their focus on Sarah.
Hmm.
Family members had felt that she was not really mourning her parents at all, like more interested with going out with friends and getting her nails done than caring about her parents' brutal murder. Now I will say that we mentioned this many times, like there's no right or wrong way to grieve.
Right.
People tend to think or have this notion that we should all like grieve in the same way, like distraught, crying all the time, not able to get over it. But like in reality, everyone grieves way different.
Right.
So I will say that, side note, but it doesn't matter because she really just didn't care.
Hmm.
In the meantime, police had collected a few items from the scene. they had noticed that there was bone and blood fragments, or nope, bone fragments and blood splatter on Diane on the walls of Sarah's bedroom.
Oh my gosh.
Want to say that they must have been very close to each other, like maybe like right across the hall or something for that to have happened. Because if, you know, you have to turn and go down the hall, like I don't know how. So I would say that they may have been like right across from each other.
Or she had them on her.
Well, that's true. Well, how would they get on the wall? Like when she took the clothes off, I guess.
And or it she like bumps up against the wall. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You're right. That's true. That's true. But the reason they found that suspicious was because she had initially stated that her door was closed and so was her parents' door. And so they're like, well, that wouldn't have happened if both doors were closed. So I think that's why I thought they were must have been like real close together, like next to each other. Okay. So then police also recovered a pink nightgown from that trash can that never got picked up that day. Like, what luck, though, because if they had just like gotten there like just minutes before or whatever and that trash was gone, who knows? I mean, maybe they would have looked at the like dump site or whatever for evidence.
But they probably wouldn't have found it or known which trash can it came from.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's true. Like this proved it was in that trash can. So that's true. So on that, the back of that robe, there was blood splatter on it. They also found a latex glove and one leather glove and a robe. They found a matching leather glove into that one that was in the garbage can in Sarah's room later on.
Wow. She put on gloves?
Yeah. And on the leather glove and the robe that was found, it had gunshot residue on it too.
Oh, okay.
And the latex glove would be tested and they found Sarah's DNA inside it. So she had that glove on. So to top it off, in Sarah's initial statement, she would say that her parents must have been shot by an unknown intruder, but the police found no evidence of forced entry whatsoever in the house.
This seems really dumb.
Right. She like – in one of the articles, it was like she left breadcrumbs. Like, here it is to me. Like, tried to, like, get rid of evidence, but didn't do such a great job about it.
Yeah. And also, no good story as to what actually happened.
No. Just like, oh, some intruder came in and got the gun from the neighbor's house and shot them. And then left – oh, also left the, like, scope of the rifle on his, like, bed. So it was like she kind of, like, tried to make them think at first it was him.
But who then was out like, of town? Like, right, they wouldn't be able to verify that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it was very – I mean, she's 16, though. Come on.
Well, like,
16-year-olds can be smart in some ways, but then others, it's like, no, duh, come on. Okay, she also had a bruise on her shoulder at the time of initial questioning, which would have been consistent with, like, the blowback of, like, a rifle. Oh, yeah,
the kickback.
Yeah, blowback, kickback, whatever. You know me. I don't know gun terms. I should because I look at it, but every time I'm like, ah, useless information. I don't need this.
We don't have brain power for everything.
No, I don't. Okay, so at this point, they are convinced that Sarah had killed her parents, and so they arrest her and charge her with two counts of first-degree murder in October of 2003, so like just barely a month after the murder. Mm-hmm. And they decide they're trying her as an adult at 16.
Okay.
It seemed to police –
this seems a little more premeditated.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, same thing, but like literally this one seemed like she was like, nope, mad at you, I'm going to do it. Whereas I'm not so convinced about that with the other one. I mean, I think we need more information with the other one, a lot more information to really determine that. But one, what we have, that's my opinion. So. Okay. So it seemed that Sarah was just so in love with Bruno that she needed to kill her parents to be with him and also wanted to take a portion of their life insurance, which would have been like hundreds of thousands of dollars. She probably would have gotten half and Matt would have gotten half. There's one mention of a sister in one article, but I don't have no idea. Other than that, is never mentioned. So like, okay. I don't really know if that's true. So a week or so later, after like – they had done some investigating. There were like plumbing issues in the area. And when plumbers go out, they find a shower cap in the pipes that Sarah had apparently put over her hair so that she wouldn't get blood in her hair. And then she flushed it down the toilet and then caused like backup.
Oh, Wow. Yeah. The karma in that.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, girl.
Yeah. Not the smartest thing to flush. Don't flush things down the toilet. It shouldn't be flushed down the toilet. Come on. Okay. At her trial, which occurred in March of 2005, Bruno testified against her. So her little fairy tale relationship is now completely over, I would imagine. He just wanted to prove that he had no participation in this and literally also had no idea that she was going to do this. He didn't want to be like tied to this at all. I mean, especially if he's got like ties to other things. He's like, no. Murder? No. Drugs? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But anyway. And Ant also got on the stand to tell stories of when they would speak, like after the deaths, about Alan and Diane, and Sarah would like almost look disgusted as if like, why are we talking about them again? Like, which I think is weird because, sorry, even if you're not grieving in a way that people think you should, quote unquote, you still wouldn't feel like disgusted about talking about your dead parents, I don't think.
No. And, you know, like, she's like doing a terrible job of looking innocent.
Yes. 100% sure. Yes, 100% right. So one of Sarah's cellmates also took the stand. And she stated that in talking to her one time with Sarah, like in their cell, she stated, when I killed, but then stopped herself and changed it to when the killers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like she inadvertently like confessed to it.
Yeah.
After 3 weeks of testimony and jury deliberation, Sarah was found guilty of 2 counts of first degree murder, and she would be sentenced to 2 concurrent life sentences without the possibility of parole.
Hmm.
In 2012, the Innocence Project tried to appeal the case, citing incompetent legal representation and saying her fingerprints were not found on the gun and that there was another set of fingerprints on it besides the owner. So they're like, well, that could be the murderer if there's another set, because they also don't match like Bruno. They didn't match anybody in the system, essentially. So they knew there was another set, but it wasn't anybody else.
But her DNA was in the glove that had gunshot residue on it.
Yes, you are correct.
Explain that.
Right.
Innocence Project. Sorry.
Well, I know.
I normally love them, but like.
No, I know. And normally I'm like, there's usually a reason why I would say, okay, that's why they got involved. I literally have no idea how or why they got involved in this, because there are so many other things besides that. Like, fine, there's another set of prints. But I will say that the owner said that he had just moved and he was like, I had a friend help me move. For all I know, it could be like his prints on there because he like carried that for me. You know, like.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's the murderer just because she wore gloves. And anyway, okay. So that appeal was denied. In 2014, they appealed again, also denied. I don't know what their grounds were then. In 2017, they attempted to get her sentence reduced, and that was also denied. So she is just denied, 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 denied. And that, there you have, are the 2 cases of children murdering their parents. One, I'm not convinced was intentional, but the other one I am convinced it was intentional.
So. Yeah, no, I think the system got it right this time in both of those cases. Like, I think they're giving Alex a chance to rehabilitate himself and serve his time and become a productive member of society. And I think they're putting an intentional premeditated murderer in prison for life. I think they got it right.
Yep. 100%. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what else came up? Because of course, like when I saw this, I'm like, well, now I need to find kids who murdered their parents. Right?
Right. That's your a fun case, thing to Google.
I know, right? Exactly. Your case that you did on Patreon came up. The guy that was in college and after Thanksgiving killed his older parents and then like dismembered them and stuff.
Yep.
That one came up and I'm like reading and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I'm like, oh, I did that one already.
Did that case. Gosh, why can't I think of his name?
I can't either for some reason. And I just literally looked at it.
Joel guy.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, on Thanksgiving. That's a sad case. He was an adult though, but.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that's interesting that these are like actual children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. And it just infuriates me, the access that irresponsible citizens give their children to firearms.
Okay, yeah. So, Agreed. I will say in the one article that I saw that there's a sister in the picture, that mm-hmm. article stated that that sister said that Sarah, like days before, had asked for the key to the gun safe. So Mel did keep.
Yeah, her parents were responsible, but.
Well, it was Mel's gun, the tenant.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know why he would have given her a key.
Yeah.
Unless somebody
wouldn't she
else
be like,
had
why?
It. Unless she asked somebody else. That's why I was like, I don't know, because the sister's never been mentioned before. And why would somebody give a 16-year-old the key to a gun cabinet, even if she asked? So I'm not totally convinced mm-hmm. of that part of the story. But it was mentioned one place.
Hmm.
Anyway.
It's interesting. I just mm-hmm. really hope that we know better and people are being responsible with their mm-hmm. weaponry.
Yes, 100%. Please, mm-hmm. please. I don't have any guns, but if you have guns, keep like, them
yeah,
locked
regulate
up.
Yourself. Yes, mm-hmm. 100%. You never know.
Right.
Not only do you never know about your own family members and people that live in your home, but like when you have other people over mm-hmm. and if they're aware that you right. have guns, like it's just they could take one and then murder someone with it. Like mm-hmm. I know that's like a really controversial topic and we normally don't even talk about that stuff, but like people are
yeah,
dying,
this seems
guys.
Like, this seems like common sense stuff to do. Like for I'm real. Not telling you, I don't think you should have a gun. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you have one, I choose not to.
Be responsible.
If you have one, be responsible with it.
Totally. Agreed. So. Okay. Well, wow. Those were interesting cases and extremely sad. And it is very sad to me that not only did the parents lose their lives, but these kids did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And man, bad decisions.
Yeah.
We'll okay. see what happens with Alex. Hopefully he can like get his life together with yeah. grandma's help.
Yes. Yeah. I think she'll be there for him. So.
Yeah. And Sarah can just be in jail.
Yeah, her brother like was like, I never want to see you again.
Wow, ever. Really? Yeah. I bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how the case was too, the one that I did on Patreon. They cut him out of family pictures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Okay, well, thank you very much for that case, Laura. Thank you for sending it our way. It was definitely off our beaten path, which was interesting, but it turned out to be a great episode, so good job. And do double duty and research. And we appreciate you guys, and we're so happy that you're here and happy that you're listening. And if you are not a Patreon member, then maybe you can join and go and listen to the case that we just were talking about where the gentleman murdered his parents. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fun going on over there. We always have really, really interesting cases, and we pick them, so we're invested, which yeah. kind of makes them a little bit different. They have a different vibe. Obviously, we appreciate your suggestions, but it is fun to be able to mm-hmm. research cases that we find interesting. Come find us on social media. I'm sure Christy will post some pictures of these cases and the TikTok links, maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll share mm-hmm. that for the 911 call because I kind of want to listen to it and yeah. give my opinion on that. And if you have a shipped name, you should hashtag it in the comments. Since Christy knows what it is now.
I'm going to hashtag and, shipped.
Yeah. Well, it's a thing. So there probably is a hashtag. Yeah. So we appreciate you. We'll see you next week for another case. And always remember, the world is scary. People suck. Hide in your closet.